what God has already planned for our lives. If He's not already deposited there, He'll deposit it on the way. And then those desires start happening for working for the Lord. You cannot serve Jesus and not want to do something for Him, because it happens. It just automatically starts happening in us. We want to do for the Lord. We want to go for the Lord. We want to be planted in the house of the Lord. We want to, you know, we want to be givers, although our flesh might not be able to let us right then. You know, we want to be, so your gift will make room for you. And the desires that we start having, that is why church is one of the most important things for after somebody gets born again, because they don't know how to be led. They don't, you know, go get planted in the house of the Lord. And, you know, some people, I mean, especially Christians, been there a long time, they're like, man, why do we have to go to church? Why do we just stay home, you know? Just, you know, but make sure that you direct everybody to church, even if you ain't going, because that's where the development starts. And that's where, and it still happens in my life all of these years later. I've been in church for 30 years, you know, minus three months, you know, pretty much. And the church after Jesus is one of the best things that ever happened to me, as to helping me to learn how to walk with the Lord, learn how to pray, fast, you know, just like I teach here, you know, fasting and praying, because we're supposed to be believers, not wavering. We're supposed to be Christians, not wavering in our faith, not wavering in our stance against the devil, you know, and evil and all that. I was thinking about this morning, you know, that how church, to me, I see going to church and serving the Lord, it is sacrifice. Our life is a sacrifice. You know, when you become a Christian, you will not be able to walk with Jesus without sacrifice. It's going to take sacrifice on your part in giving. And I mean, you know, just like I was a very angry guy. A lot of people done a lot of bad things, like most of us have got. And I was real angry and I was real resentful and I was real, you know, critical of others and all of that, angry, plotting to do what I was going to do to my enemies, you know, when the opportunity hit. But I got born again, and one of the first things that God began to do, see, he was wanting to bring me to a place to where I was believing Him and not wavering, so that I could experience Him. See, the sacrifice will never be greater than the reward that you get for your sacrifice, whether it's going to church or whether it is, you know, like in my part, you know, I was reading the Bible. I hadn't been saved in about 2 months and 2 or 3 months or something like that. And I really, in my heart, hated some folk here on earth, you know, in the natural, you know, and just life happening and things happening, you know. And I'm reading in there where Jesus said, love your enemies. And I'm standing in my living room and I shut that Bible. All of you know the story, but it don't matter. I feel led to tell you. I shut that Bible and I said, I don't like that. And so Teresa, she asked me, she said, don't like what? I said, it said, love my enemies. I said, that's ridiculous. You know, how can I love somebody that is, you know, and I left and that troubled me. You know, that scripture was troubling me. You know, see, what God was doing is the Word was, He was, through the Word, asking me to sacrifice. And so I made up my mind. God told me, and I'm telling you, you know, you won't be able to walk with God and have 2024 be a year of more of Him and more of the things of Him, and hold things in our heart, you know, unforgiveness and anger and stuff like that. We are free. Once we're born again, the Bible says, whom the Son has set free is free indeed. He already had set us free, Johnny, but we was walking outside that freedom by not surrendering to the Lordship of Jesus, you know. But once we did that, then we come into the power of God that enables us to live this life like the Lord. Now, sometimes it takes time with us. You know what? I stand today, all them years later, one of the ones that I hated on this planet was diagnosed with cancer, and I'd already worked on it, yielding to the Lord and and loving my enemies and praying, you got to practice. Teresa was talking about being doers. You got to be embracers of that word, and then that word begins to make you free. You're already free. See, once we get born again, we're not working from a place of defeat to get victory. We have been seated in heavenly places in Jesus when we give our heart to Him. So now we're working from a place of victory, and we're working to walk in the victory that has already been freely handed and given to us as we were transferred over out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son and the kingdom of light. Now me and you are walking. We're already free. That's why we feel free on the inside, although we might be bound to some things on the outside, because in here is where the freedom comes from the inside to the outside. So I honestly, when it was presented to me that one of the people that I hated most on this planet was diagnosed with cancer, I truly was able to really, really, truly, freely pray and release my faith and see that person touched by the power of God. This church prayed for them too. They did not die with cancer. And I felt like if that's the only thing that I served Jesus for 30 years is to be free from hatred and anger, it's worth it. Money can't buy that. People can't coach you in that. So if in your heart people have done you wrong back yonder 35 years ago, praise God, today is your day. If you have made Jesus the Lord of your life, you may have not knew that you can be free from that. But now I'm telling you today, I have walked in that, and you can walk free. You're already free. The blood of Jesus is in your life and applied to my life. See, God wants us to God wants us to come to the place. I don't care if you're a teenager or you're 4 or you're 5. I'm teaching my grandkids, praise God, just like I did my son. Praise the Lord. I did him the same way, maybe just different, but I taught him about Jesus at 4 years old and 5 years old and 6 years old. He's laying hands on Mama. At 5 years old, and she got healed of a headache, praise the Lord. And he was going to church, and all he was doing was seeing that happen in church. See, that's why it was important for me to have him in church. Church, he saw us laying hands on people. He saw him going to the altars. And then when Mama said she's got a migraine headache, he didn't think nothing about it. He didn't doing what he'd been seeing. He walks over to Mama, slaps his hand on her head, and said, "Be healed." And she instantly was healed of that headache. True story. Travis was 5. Well, see, here coming up tax season, we all been believing for increase. Increase has come, hallelujah. Travis, he's facing him a little bitty mountain there. I don't care how big the challenge is, it's a little mountain. You don't ever see your situation without God. And so me and him were sitting talking, and his mind's just made up. It's not going to consume him, and he's going to do this. But he knows the story, and you know the story in the Bible where their taxes were due, and Jesus told him to go fishing, praise God, told Peter to go fishing. And when he got that money out of that fish's mouth, he said, "Go pay my taxes and yours." That's in your Bible. So that tells me that my God and your God will supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. See, God wants you to believe and not waver. Believe that you can be healed. Believe that you can receive. Believe that you can be free from hatred. Believe that you can come to the place to where you have no grudges against anybody. Hallelujah. This is a supernatural work taking place. I couldn't do it, Johnny, on my own. because without Jesus, I was plotting and looking and waiting at the opportunities to get vengeance on people. Now, not everybody's like that, but that's the way I was. You know? But when I got born again, I thought, man, Jesus messed this up. He messed it up. I can't take vengeance. I read in there where it says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And I thought, I could do a better job than here, God. You're in heaven. See, that's our normal thinking, right? But you know, it wasn't about God wanting to chop somebody's arms off and pluck the, God wanted to change me where none of these things moves me. That's more powerful than anything on planet that could take in the natural done. Your jealousy. You know, I mean, I am jealous of Teresa a little. You know, that's not, it should be normal. I mean, I love her, you know. But now I'm not afraid of losing her anymore. Well, she would be a basket case to leave me. Yeah. Well, look at all of y'all. Where y'all at this morning? Where's y'all at this morning? Y'all here serving Jesus this morning, right? Somebody's in your life, they are fortunate to have you in their life. You understand? Whether it's friendship or whether it's brother and sister or whether it's married. I mean, we're walking with the Most High, right? We got the favor of God on our life, right? Well, somebody would be basket cases not to want to be linked to us. Hallelujah. See, we're coming to the place to where our marriages are not going to be, they not going to be rocked at all anymore. Something comes against us, we just, I'm still standing, yeah. Just like Teresa said the other day, her inner natural body sick and attacked and all of that stuff. And she looked at me and she said, I'm not sick. I said, I believe it. See, look, when you're living from within, your natural body is not you. You got to understand that. Your natural body is the car you're in. The real you is on the inside. I had a revelation. I couldn't understand that. And I had this desire to go to funerals. I went to funerals and I didn't even know who they was. None of them. I knew nobody. They didn't know it. They're like, I wonder who he's kin to. They don't know how far down the line this thing's been going, you know. And so, I mean, I went to funerals and all, and I wanted to know because I knew that I was called to preach. And I wanted to know how this funeral thing works out. Because I figure if I'm called to preach, they say that preachers got to do funerals. And, then, you know, and weddings and this and that, you know. I found out I don't have to do nothing unless God tells me. I know what they meant. But you know what? I'm in this in here, and I never did go up for the viewing. Now, I felt a little awkward that I'm not going to walk up in line with them. Hey, I don't know who you are. But I'm sitting back there, and all of a sudden the Lord spoke to me. And he said, see, he said, that person is not in that casket. And I thought, I see the head sticking up back there, you know. And I thought, not in the head. And all of a sudden, I heard the Holy Spirit say, greater is he that is in you. But to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And then I thought, man, they're not in there. That body's laying there, but whoever was in there come out of there. And they're gone. They were spirit. See, now I said that, and God did that way so that I could realize that this body is not who I am. This body is not who you are. This body, you are inside this body. When you're born of the Spirit of God, you are on the inside. So this body would like to mess you up every now and then. That's why the Bible says we are to be led by the Spirit, not led by our natural look. If we're going to be able to believe and not waver and live a successful life, success is not just money. It's having peace. It's enjoying your work. It's enjoying your family. It's enjoying fishing or whatever you like to do. I get on a tractor, and me and the Lord, boy, I'm driving a tractor yesterday that I believe God for, and a lot of different things, and I'm unloading some hay. And I told the Lord, I said, thank you, Lord. I just want to praise you right now for this nice tractor, Lord. And I'm in there, and the wind's not on me now. You go back, and I had the old Belarus, man. Every time I go over there, I got to jump it off to feed the cows. I've got to, and I thought, I'm going to use all this, Lord, until you tell me what to do. I'm just going to, Jesus said, occupy. Well, what that means is whatever you got, wherever you are, you can be successful wherever you are without anything else. And then as you move up, I'm talking to the Lord. I said, I'll just praise you right now, Father. I thank you, Lord. Now I talk to him a lot. You ought to talk to the Lord a lot. Have a communication with him a lot. Talk to him. Talk to him just like you would your brother, your sister, or somebody, because he is listening. The Bible says that his ear are open to the cry of the righteous, the prayers, the talking, the communion of the righteous. You may not feel righteous. Some of you ain't even realized yet that because you've got this in your life and you don't feel worthy and blah, blah, blah. You have been born again. You don't even realize that you are already righteous. And where I get that, see, you've got to believe everything about you based on the Bible. The Bible says that when I was born again, that I had been made the righteousness of God. You were put in right standing with God. Now, if you're in here today and your heart, you're not right with Jesus, you're not right with him, then you can't be righteous. Not even if you go to church and you give everything you have to feed the poor and you give all your cars away and all of that, you're still unrighteous. But you can give your heart to Jesus, and it's not about giving the cars and being a good person. It's about that he gave his life and we receive his life. It's called identifying with Christ. Then you've got to realize that you're the righteousness of God, although you've not got everything straight in your life. You're still under construction. I like to think of myself as still under construction. Now I'm built a little bit more. I need the construction taking place because I don't need to be the same height spiritually that this year as I was last year. And about Teresa brought it out in Sunday school. The Bible says in 1 Peter 2:2, desire the sincere, the real milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. Well, what does that mean? That means I read that Bible and it said, love your enemies. And I said, I don't like it. Now see, now I've read that word. That word won't leave me alone. I'm wanting to walk on with the Lord, but he's like, well, I'm standing right here. I'm right here where you heard that. I'm right here, and I'm not going to carry you any further. You can go on without me. You can go on and be angry. You can go on and be oppressed. You can go on and be sad. You can go on. Just like today, I hear preachers, and I don't agree. I keep my mouth shut, and I keep my heart clear, and I talk to the Lord, and I say, I don't believe that, but I'm not judging. It's none of my business. See, used to, I'd be like, it's all of my business. But God, I'm going to uncover that false prophet. I'm going to see that was wrong. God quickly brought me. He said, if it's not concerning your ministry, he said, then don't get involved. He said, because I'm a big God, and I can take care of that one. And I can take care of that one. He said, but make sure you keep your heart clear. The Bible says in Matthew 7:7 over there, judge not that you be not judged. For the measure that you put out is going to be measured to you again. Well, I want my measurement to be back to me, none of my business. That's good. Good measure. And I want it pressed down in that area, not money. Because money can't buy this freedom that is in Christ Jesus in your life and in my life. Jeremiah 29:11 says that this Beth ain't got none of these scriptures. But that's okay. Because when I can't find what the Lord wants, I go through 18 notebooks and I'll flip and flip and flip. See, that's what I was doing when he was telling me, love your enemies. Oh, I'll flip on to the next page. I'm on. Let me go on, Lord. The Lord said, I can't leave you. I love you, and I can't leave you here. He said, I can't leave you here. The Bible says in Psalms over, it says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. But now I understand that. I didn't understand that back under 25 years ago. I really didn't know it. But when I got free of hating that person, then I understood that scripture. I was tasting and eating and feeding on the goodness of God. See, sickness can't stay on your body. It's the temple of God. Now, just like my natural vehicle, I'm going down the road and somebody wants to drive it, and I say, well, now be careful. Because, if you have to hit the brakes too fast, it'll jerk you this way, and then all of a sudden it'll even up, and then if you ain't careful, it'll jerk you this way. So I warn them that is driving the truck that way. Well, you know what? I can choose to live in danger, or I can go get me some new brake calipers and just change it all where they're hitting the brakes at the same time. That's the way it is spiritually with us. We got to have maintenance on ourselves. We got to maintain even victory when we get it. It's like Teresa said, I got it. I won't never have to deal. No, you will have to deal with that enemy again. He wants to come back and he wants to cause somebody to do me wrong real bad and then go back down yonder and let that word that I agreed with of loving my enemy, he wants that out of my heart because that is bearing fruit. I'm a free man. I'm a happy man. I'm a blessed man. I'm a peaceful man. I'm a faith. My faith is working. See, this church is going higher, and I'm not just talking about this church. It's every church where the leadership is seeking the Lord. And that's why I lead you to fast and to pray. You don't need to have to depend on me to hear from the Lord. I mean, you hear from the Lord yourself. You fast and you spend time with God and all of that stuff yourself. And then when we come together, we've all been in the presence of God. And then all of us, there's going to be times we come in here. I started to tell them this morning, I should have just given you all the microphone. Monty, take up tithes and offerings. Okay, I might take a minute, Pastor. Okay, well, you need to. It's all good, and it was all right. And I'm like, oh, man, here we go. And then Monty walking backwards and forwards. And I thought, when he left the stage, I thought, uh-oh. If he'd just stayed up there, he'd have been all right, But it was all good, Monty. And then somebody else said something. She got started preaching. I started to say, hey, man, you want the microphone, huh? Is that what you want? I got a message. I think I do anyways. But, that's what the Bible is talking about. And then Teresa, after she does this long Sunday school and then takes an extra 10 minutes, can I say something? And I'm like, are you serious? You just got an hour and 10 minutes. But you know what? But see, that's what happens. The Bible says that every joint, and we're not talking about marijuana, that every joint, you're a joint. I read that one time and I thought, I wonder if he's talking about a joint, man. I used to smoke pot, I thought, I know he's not talking about marijuana. But he says that every joint supplies. See, that's what it's talking about. We come together and, Rob, y'all pray for me. He's being attacked by birds on both of his mirrors. They're driving him crazy. And I know Travis has tried to shoot the one been attacking his cigar over there. I mean, attacking bass at a certain time of the year, hits the wind, bam, bam, then goes out, attacks his car. See, all it is, I mean, he tries to shoot it, and the bird's so fast, I guess it moves for the bullet. He can't even shoot the bird, man. He's gonna end his. He finally surrendered. I reckon I hadn't heard nothing lately. He finally just decided, I guess it's God's animal. I mean, praise the Lord. I don't know. Hallelujah. Praise God. How many know God's feeding them? Not be telling him, come on, man, go to Walmart and buy some bird feed and put over here, and I won't be banging on your window. My mama would have. She'd have sold her car to get that bird some feed out there. But see, what I'm saying, I'm being funny with that, but everything's a trial, and everything is serious. How we react to it is going to determine what kind of benefits that we get, good or bad. I mean, our reaction to the trial that comes our way, and we've got the power. I'm telling you right now, you are the anointed of God. You are graced by the Lord. You are empowered by Him. You greater is He that is. You might not feel like it, but you got it. I was thinking about it this morning. I'm asking the Lord, because I'm born again, you know, and I hear all these things about Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego and the Apostle Paul and all the wonderful things in Daniel that they did, and then Caleb and Joshua, you know, and I'm like, I felt like just a mere man, you know, just where's the power? I mean, if I had that kind of power in my life, man, I'd turn onion upside down. So I'm asking the Lord. I said, Lord, where is this power? Why don't I have it? I said, Lord, where is it at? And you know what the Lord told me? He said, it is in you. He said, you read these stories and it showed up in their trial. I hadn't looked at it that way. I just thought they was all time just like Popeye boy, just, you know, going along like, you know, radiant all the time, and that wasn't the case. They had to live by faith like us. They faced those trials but knew God was with them, and if God was with them, who could be against? They knew it. They knew it. They had seen God at the Red Sea. Hallelujah. And you know what? When God spoke that to me, I thought, glory to God, it's in me. When I really need it, it'll show up. When I really get in trouble, praise God, serving you, it'll show up, praise God. So I'm telling you this morning, you might not feel very spiritual this morning, but if you are born again and you give your heart to Jesus, you are bigger than you think you are. You are big, you're taller on the inside than you think you are. You've got more victory in you than you realize. You may feel defeated. You may feel like you're a nobody. You will never go nowhere. You may have even failed God so much in 20 years that you're like, He will never use me. But I'm telling you, God's not a God that keeps your past against you. The Bible says, for you to forget those, forgetting those things behind, and press on to those things that are before you. See, God says when you repent, look, I was on meth. Was it meth or crack? Whichever one. Backslid and went, you know, go back to marijuana, you go back to what you used to do, and even worse. And so one day I'm on meth, whatever it was, smoking meth. Preacher comes up on the front porch. Preacher man. Hey, Brother Scotty. Hey. Oh. You know, hey, ha-ha. You're feeling pretty good, though. You can preach it when you own that, boy. You can talk all about it, boy. I mean, you can go for hours and hours. Why? Because there's somebody on the inside of you. You might be trying to walk away, but He said He'll never leave you and He will not forsake you. And so he said, Lord, send me over here. And I thought, oh, my God. He said, And I want you to preach at my church tomorrow night. I thought, oh my God, this can't be God. This cannot be God. Oh, Jesus. I said, okay, sure. I go in and I repent, man. I get my heart right with the Lord. You might not agree with what I'm saying. That's fine. I didn't ask you to. I'm just giving you an example of God. When you repent, it's wiped clean. I'm talking about gone. What you did 5 minutes ago, 14 hours ago, 10 years ago, when you repent, bam! And he will never bring it up to you again. Well, somebody in the church knew that I was away from the Lord. They actually come to me and started preaching to me, Scott. Oh, man, you're blessed. I said, look, don't start preaching to me. I need you to buy me a quarter of pot and keep your mouth shut. That's what I told him. I said, don't start preaching to me. I already know. I said, if I want to hear preaching, I'll go to church. For God's sake. Not out of you. I need you to go get me a bag of pot. And I backslid. Didn't you know it? Anyhow, he said, oh, you're just too blessed. Anyways, he goes to that church. He found out that I'm going to preach. Now he ain't going, D. He's not going to go. But you know what? God wouldn't leave him alone. God wouldn't leave him alone. He just wouldn't leave him alone. I repented, boy, and God gave me a good message. See, why God's saying this? Because we hold things against ourselves, and it ain't even God. This is not even God. See, I wasn't going to go preach that night and just go back to the drugs. I'd got my man, I'm sorry, Lord. I mean, this is what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm over here doing this. I'm supposed to be going after you, and I'm over. And now I'm changed. That's what repent means. You just change your mind. You just make some of you need to make some mind changes this morning that you're going to follow God. You're going to do whatever He tells you to do, praise God. And you're going to depend on Him to bring that power up in you. That's one of the best sermons I ever preached that night. I'm talking about people started shouting. One jumped up and run out of the church, and you could hear them two or three times around the church screaming at the top of their lungs under the power of God. He made a believer out of me that night. And see, all of these years, look, he wants me and you to a place. He knows we're not perfect. He knows y'all teenagers, y'all. This young boy, he come to the house. I heard him up there. He got a big jacked up Chevy. He lives up above the house. And I know what he done. I used to do it. He throws it in reverse. Pops it in drive. Stomps it. Burr, you know, and doing it. Well, it pops the drive shaft. I mean, it explodes the drive shaft. Johnny ain't never done it, have you? Don't try it. Pop your drive shaft. Yeah, a new man. Hallelujah. Pop your drive shaft. Don't do it, teenager. Turn your transmission out, too. Anyway, down there, he said, I said, what happened? He said, I didn't do nothing. I said, I'm not your daddy. I said, I know better. I know you did something. The drive shaft don't explode. Just ease it out from the stop sign. So all of y'all teenagers, no, Daddy, Mama, we're not doing nothing. No, Daddy, we know better. But just don't get ungodly. You know, you can be a little mischief, but not ungodly. Okay? If you can figure out how to do that. No mischief. Hallelujah. But God sees y'all teenagers. He sees your vigor. He sees your desires. He sees the freedom you need on the inside. He sees it. He sees what's binding you up, and you're looking forward in other ways that you think will make you free. But the freedom is then your surrender to Him, your heart surrender to Him, and then let Him in those dark areas that is driving you. It's driving you. See, anger was driving me. Don't just think that's a story. What's driving you? What's driving you? Something trying to drive y'all, you teenagers, to do evil in any way, to do not what's right? That's not you. That's something working against you. That's something working against the plan of God in your life. These teenagers, see, they can handle this adult stuff. You better believe it. They need to know that greater is He that's in them than He. When they go to school, when they go to college and have these dreams, they're going to be believing that God is with me all the way, and God's going to make a way, and God's going to help me to be successful, you know, and not identify in what you think school and all of that. No, you need God more than you need school. You need school, and you need to go on, but you need God in there. You need God. I mean, I'm teaching Aubrey right now. It may sound funny and childish and all of that, but I'm teaching her that God goes in that class with her, that the Holy Spirit is in there. And she, I mean, for 2 years, she thought she was going to not do good grades because she couldn't seem to do it, couldn't focus, wanted to blame it on the other kids. Might have been. I mean, they can be nerve-wracking, I'm sure, praise the Lord. But you know what? I kept driving it in her, that God's going to school with you. God's going to be in her. God's going to help you. She come one day and she said, "Papa, I don't think I'm going to pass." It was in the second. I said, "Why not? Why do you think you're not going to pass?" It's my little granddaughter. She's 9 now, ain't that right? 8. She's getting taller, so it seemed like the age ought to go up with it. You know, I said, "Why not?" She said, "Because I just ain't doing good, Papa. I can't focus and blah, blah, blah." You know, well, me and you can give all these excuses out here if we want to, you know, but we got to focus. Well, so I told her, I said, "No, baby, no." I said, "God is for you." I said, "It don't make no difference. God can help you block the kids out. God," well, I'm getting her God conscious going to the school. She's going with Jesus is going with me. He's going to help me. Well, you know what? After she passed, I give her some money and all of that stuff, you know, rewarded her because she passed. And then I told her, I said, "I told you that Jesus was with you. I told you you wasn't going to stay in the second grade. I told you." Well, this year, you know, I ain't heard too much of that. It's getting in her. I'm believing that the fruit of that planting, see, that's me and you. That's why I rehearse the Word. That's why that I go over the Word a lot in my life. That's why I keep my mind stayed on the Lord through the Word or His goodness or something. The Bible says, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. And He says, if there be anything, think on these things. Whatever things are good, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are a good report. Think on these things. And if there's anything else you need to think on, Paul said, He'll show you. So y'all teenagers, I mean, one of y'all may be the pastor here. So don't you play around with the things of God. You may be, I mean, I was thinking about it. I thought, you know what, God? One of them or any of them is liable to be sitting there, and all of a sudden things come alive like it did Zach in certain things. That's a good thing. You know, and I thought you could have them over yonder at ORU University. You could speak to them. You want them to go to a Christian college. The one that'll teach you, that'll raise you up and help you develop the gifts, and you might be a missionary across the world over yonder somewhere. It won't be happy in your life till you find it. Now, don't take that as God saying that. I'm just saying, I was just saying that. So don't play around, y'all young guys. You're not playing around. That's the wrong word. Y'all not playing. Y'all serious. You're just serious about some other wrong stuff. be in the right direction towards the Lord. Travis, he told me one day, he said, "Dad," he said, because he knew, I mean, he wouldn't crawl out of our bedroom window and go out, you know, on the town. He knew, you know, there'd be some major consequences for that. You know. So he told me one day, he said, "Dad, now when I get 18, he'd usually tell mom first. The devil, when I get 18, I'm getting married now. I'm naked. Ain't nothing going to stop me. And I'm like, you can move out now. It wouldn't bother me, you know. Y'all, you and your mamas have got to be a pretty good trial since you become a teenager. I'm having to develop, Johnny. Yeah, I did. Praise the Lord. Having to keep my house together. Praise the Lord. You know, so I told him, I said, well, I just took my cap off and you're getting married. Enjoy the ride. And I put my cap back on and I went over about my business. Well, he goes and buys groceries one time. Then that's the first one. He called me, God, Dad, groceries are high, ain't they? And I said, yeah, that's what I was talking about. Enjoy the ride. That give him a reason to believe God, right? He had one up till now. God's been supplying through mom and daddy. So y'all teenagers better realize you are growing up. You will become an adult. And it will happen a lot quicker than you think. You think you wish time could go on and you could get out from under the pressures of living at home. But I'm telling you, the pressures out here of life are way greater than the pressures that you are dealing with in your free zone. You're right now in your free zone. You're in a time where you're supposed to enjoy where you're at in your teenage years and just have fun and not ungodly, but just have fun. Enjoy being there. Enjoy this free time. You're in a free time. There will come a time when you get married. That's not free time. That is beginning of really growing up time. And it's a good thing. I encourage it. I want y'all boys to marry one woman. Don't get that Bible stuff. I want six wives. You don't even know what you're saying. We don't want them Bible times, praise God. I would have to just tell God, not going to happen if he wanted me to have 30 women, praise God, for wives, you know, that sister wives stuff, all that garbage on TV, and they say Jesus is with me. Yeah, we can see how y'all's lives fell apart. First it was, oh yes, we're happy. Oh, just spend a day with this one. And then the long-haired dude, what's that called? He is kind of cute, ain't he? I mean, you know, he's a good-looking guy, you know. But all these choices, I'm like, and he says he's got the wisdom of God. He's making all these choices. And first it's good. I'm like, well, we can watch it a little, you know. And they go, we're going to build this house, and we're going to build this house, and we move over here in this house. And oh, we all, and they get all these houses. Then they're like, hey, man, you ain't spending enough time with me. And she's like, well, you ain't spending enough time with me. And I'm like, he's like, well, how am I going to spend enough time with y'all? And I'm like, there you go, right there, God, right there. God can't, he just can't do that stuff in that. And so now, you hear it now. I quit watching it. You hear it now. You know, it was pretty good to start out with. But then you hear it now, and they all done got divorces. Their lives are apart. They had all these kids together. Now, I mean, good Lord, they're in a mess, honey. I mean, this dude's got a bunch of kids. He's got a bunch of mad ex-wives. And it's not getting good. I mean, alimony's coming. I mean, the dude ain't even been working anyhow. They got their careers and taking care of him while he's running around the houses or something. God, I thought this, no wonder this. But this stuff sells. See, you don't want your life jacked up like that. You don't want your life always in a mess and in turmoil like that. You don't want to yoke yourself. Somebody told me yesterday, and they've been through a divorce and blah, blah, blah. And they said, well, they wanted to be my girlfriend. And so, and I went over there and things were going on. I just looked at them and I said, don't yoke yourself with an unbeliever. I don't care how bad you want a girlfriend or a boyfriend. The Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. That's not so you can't have fun. That's to keep you safe. Because people in the world that don't walk with Jesus don't have the same insight and goals as those that serve the Lord. It don't mean that Christians are better than those that are lost. That is not what I'm saying. That's not it. But we are smarter than the enemy because we have Jesus. And I've got to stop. I didn't realize it was so late. Praise God. Y'all took up my time. That's what it is. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you, you know, come to the place, make up your mind. Everything is really easy to walk with the Lord once your mind's made up. Once you make your mind up that I'm not going to hate my enemies, and I'm going to love them, here comes God's grace. Here comes God's mercy flowing in. Here comes the anointing that begins to break and goes down into the things that would cause you to be that anyways. So all of y'all teenagers, be after God. Fast. Y'all fast.
Well, we're this young.
No, you're not. David was 13 years old when he was anointed king. Jesus was 13 years old when he stayed behind in the caravan and they went back and got him. He said, don't you know that I must be about my Father's business? He was 13. So if you're 13, you're 13 or older, you should be fasting and praying and seeking the Lord and going to bed early. You don't stay up all night. No wonder you're making B's and C's. You know, do like us that's working. Get into bed at a good hour so that you're not grumpy in the morning with mom and dad, and you're not grumpy with the teachers in the morning. Get you good 8 hours sleep. I'm anointed Dr. Scotty now. Get you 8 hours sleep. Don't stay on the phone talking half the night. Praise the Lord. You know, I got to get off these teenagers. I'm not on you. I love you. And I want to see you be all that God's called you to be. Praise God. And I'm not going to drop the ball in this church. That gospel is for you too. That every word in that Bible is for you too. It should have been King James, teenage, adult, halfway, midway, everything Bible. It works on my grandson. He's five. It works on him. Six. He just turned six. Praise God. All right, if you're here this morning and you're lost without Jesus, you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life. And I'm not talking about you've went to church and Monty was raised in a Christian, in 2015, I believe it was, he gave his heart, was it 15? 2014, he realized that he was lost without God. He had been raised in church. His daddy was an evangelist for 40-something years, preaching the gospel. So all of that affiliation don't get you right with the Lord. If you're here this morning and you can't remember when you asked Jesus to come into your life personally, then you're not been born again, more than likely. And even if you think you are and you can't recall that time, we just want to really make sure that you know that you have given your heart to Jesus, because your whole future depends on your walk with the Lord. Your success in life, your choices in life, that you don't end up messed up like a lot of folk that you know that has made wrong choices. Look at those and say, I'm going to make different choices. And Jesus is the first choice. And if you're here and you say, I know I'm not born again, I don't remember when I give my heart to Jesus, but I want to make sure. I want to give my heart to Jesus because I want him in my life. I want a good life like I've been hearing this morning. And you pray for me when you pray. And if that's you, slip your hand up and back down. I'm not going to call you out. I'm going to pray for you right where you're at. Anybody ain't right with the Lord. You're here this morning and you're backslid on the Lord. You're not right with the Lord. You're really not right in your heart with the Lord, and you say, I'm